One of the biggest issues today, I think most people have some level of thyroid dysfunction. When I was sick and toxic, I had thyroid dysregulation big time. I couldn't take hot showers because I couldn't adapt to it. If I stood up, I would get dizzy. And your thyroid's kind of connected to that too.
Your thyroid has a pump that is nowhere else in your body. And it's made because the amount of iodine that it needs is very small. And the amount of blood in the blood is not always adequate. So we have to concentrate it. Now the problem is that
the standard American diet, I know insulin's a hormone. When you have insulin resistance, does that backfeed into thyroid dysfunction in any way?
Those on thyroid meds, there's so much disconnect between what we know in research and what's done in clinical practice.
Happens all the time.
Yeah, there have been a lot of big scathing articles saying that 85% at least of those on thyroid medications never needed them. And the meds actually taken unnecessarily raise the risk for cancers and early mortality and other problems. So those articles then made researchers ask your question, well, what can somebody do if they're already on the meds? And they've shown that.
Dr. Alan Christensen, so great to have you on the show. Very excited. You're a special guest here with us. And let's dive in. First of all, you've done a lot, right? You've helped a lot of people. You've educated millions of people about health and reversing dis-ease in their bodies. How did you get into this space and why are you so passionate about it?
You know, I'm so glad to be here with you for what you're doing, especially affecting kids and families. So I was a kid who was struggling with the issues from cerebral palsy. I couldn't do sports. I got pretty obese. And, you know, adolescence is tough when things go well, but when it doesn't go well, it can be pretty bad.
Yeah.
And long about by that time, I became desperate for something different. You know, I was made fun of in school and I could read well, but that wasn't any consolation at all. But I turned to health books and the things that I learned changed my life. Yeah. And I realized how many people must be suffering and struggling for things that they don't have to, that if they could just connect with the right information, they could come back to their full potential again.
When did you start reading books like on health?
Well, health books about age 10.
Wow. Like,
yeah. Started acting on it about age 12.
That's amazing. Like I maybe have heard that story maybe by two other people that I've ever spoken to over the 20 years I've been in this space that they started that young. One of them was a friend of mine, Dr. Jack Tipps. I don't know if you know Dr. Jack.
No.
He's one of the old school guys, a wild man. And he started very young and then worked under gurus, like herbologists and naturopathic, you know, experts and tinctures and, I mean, just doing crazy stuff, almost killing himself a few times. So that's beautiful that you're such a wealth of knowledge. You look great. You look healthy. You live the lifestyle. And it started so young. And how did these decisions that you made, like how long did it take for you to start reversing some of these challenges that you had?
Well, like I said, I couldn't do sports. So I was really heavy. So seventh grade, I had the idea that if I just went for it in football, I mean, they were jocks, right? The athletes were healthy. So I wanted to be like that. So I figured,
Of course we did.
I'll just show up and I'll get there eventually. So the first day, get suited up, don't quite know how these pads work. Coach says, well, school run out here across the field, start practice. On the way to practice, I blacked out.
Did that end your career?
That ended the 1.0 football
that
career.
That was it. So you didn't go pro.
Didn't go pro.
That wasn't that story. I walked out there. I did it. I got stronger and I kept falling forward and I went pro. That's the end. And
no.
Then I went to medical school.
I quit reading the space books for a while and picked up health books. So there was not a lot around. Things like Let's Be Well by Adele Davis. And I started changing my diet, you know, cut out sugar, cut out bread, and started exercising.
With no input from your family?
And certainly no resistance.
Right.
But yeah, no, not so much input. Yeah, encouragement.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah. Did laps around our kitchen. It was like 12 steps. I could do like 3-4 laps before I was exhausted. And then I could do more and more. And then 2 years later.
There's the hero's journey.
Yeah. 2 years later, I tried out again and I could play. I was one of the better runners. And yeah, things worked out differently.
That's beautiful. So when did you decide to become a doctor?
You know, I never stopped being interested in those things. And all along, I knew that, like I said, there was that gap.
You know,
as a kid, I figured out that, and I had seen doctors about this stuff. I was given medications for my seizures and whatnot, and they meant well, but none of it was helping me. And all along, I knew that was my calling. And I just figured I'd keep learning this stuff and become a doctor and apply it.
That pretty simple. Like it's a straight line to you started at 10 years old. It would make sense that you'd want to make it a career.
Well, but I didn't know about anything besides conventional care. Mm-hmm. And I figured that if I had good knowledge, good intentions, things I could do that would help, that it wouldn't matter if this is what they were already doing or not. But the closer I got to that, the more the doctor mentors of mine told me, said, look, kid, that's cute, but that's not standard of practice. You lose your license doing stuff like that.
But then how did you work around that? You just found ways to do it safely and correctly.
Well, I learned about the naturopathic profession. Mm-hmm. So I went that direction and learned ways to go into still do an endocrinology specialty. But along the way, I saw that, you know, the things that helped me, many people with endocrine disorders like thyroid disease, those things weren't enough. You know, they were already trying to eat well and exercise, mm-hmm. but it wasn't really helping things for them.
Yeah, it didn't. Yeah, there's more to it. Like, and I think we should get into thyroid. I think it's one of the biggest issues today. I think most people have some level of thyroid dysfunction. It's a major hormone that affects energy in our life. So optimizing thyroid, and toxins are a big effect on that, right? And if you can find ways to remove toxins, support your thyroid. I know that if you take iodine right and wrong, you can kick off toxins and cause more problems. So there, it's a complicated endocrine system that is not well understood by most, and it is your specialty. So I love to get some of these solutions. Why is it such a big problem today? A massive problem, both the autoimmune side of it, the other side of it, all of it. The micro dysregulation of the thyroid. I know that I had, when I was sick and toxic, I had thyroid dysregulation big time. I couldn't take hot showers because I couldn't adapt to it. Obviously, I couldn't exercise. I couldn't adapt to that sort of stress. If I stood up, I would get dizzy, and your thyroid's kind of connected to that too. Mm. My feet were cold all the time. My hands were cold, like all that. And then after I ate well, it worked for me. It detoxed, ate well. I was able to get my, I did do, the pig thyroid for a while, and boy did I feel great, really great. I took it right before I got married because I wanted to feel a little better. So that definitely helped there. So to give my thyroid a rest. So I did some of this stuff, but that's it. And there's people that are really suffering and not finding answers. And toxins are a definite driver of that. But I'd like to pick your brain on that.
Well, and more so than any other part of the body, there can be a big driver. So toxins are highly tied to thyroid disease. The relevance is that there is a pump. Your thyroid has a pump that is nowhere else in your body. And it's made because the amount of iodine that it needs is very small. And the amount of blood in the blood is not always adequate. So we have to concentrate it. Now, the problem is that I think about like those airplanes that drop water in the forest fires, you know, they suck up all the water from these ponds. You figure they got to get some weeds and some frogs and stuff in there too, right?
Yeah, so, they have to.
That's the pump here. So the pump we adapted was evolved way before we were exposed to the big range of chemicals we are today. So a lot of wastes, not only, I mean, all these things passively can get into our bodies and get stuck. That's always bad. But in the thyroid, they also get concentrated by the pump.
Ah, that's why it gets concentrated. And I know that like mercury, does mercury bind to receptor sites or something in the thyroid?
Yeah, it simply bioaccumulates.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that gets in there and doesn't get out as readily.
Yeah, it's a mess. So what else? Like that's, you know, environmental toxins, a big deal. Diet, lifestyle choices, not getting outside in the sunshine, like what else can dysregulate someone's thyroid?
Well, I think about things that can be stressors, dysregulators, and then things that are causal for disease. And
got
I kind
it.
Of pull those apart.
Yeah, big difference.
So a causal factor could do it all by itself. You know, like nothing else needed, but that could make the disease happen. Whereas all these other things are like, you know, one more car in the bridge. You know, like they by themselves may not do it, but if things are already loose and shaky, they may push things along a little bit further.
The standard American diet, right? I know insulin's a hormone, right? And when you have insulin resistance, does that backfeed into thyroid dysfunction in any way?
That can be one of many contributors for sure.
It's over here in the, than over here. So if you have thyroid problems, the mainstream medical is, you know, I mean, people get thyroid cancer, right? And they get it cut out and that's hard on you. Then you're on what, Synthroid? And there's medical interventions in. But where's the hope who someone say is hypothyroid? And I've seen it. I've seen people, I don't even know how to say it correctly, but they no longer have it. Let's just say that. Like
sure.
I've seen it over and over again, wean themselves off and make decisions and have a healthy thyroid and balance blood work again. And I've seen it over and over again in my 20 years. So This isn't anecdotal. Like it's totally possible. Yeah, it's totally possible. But when you go to your medical doctor, they run it. I don't work with thyroid, but I'm sad, you know, that there is options to that aren't drug related, right? So when you say someone's on Synthroid and they want to try a natural route to see if their body can rebalance that thyroid and it can start producing, because it shuts down. It's kind of like when you take testosterone, your junk shrinks, right? It's just, you're not working that muscle. Your body's like, okay, thanks. Yep. You know, I don't need to make that anymore. It adapts. It's a beautiful system. Mm-hmm. So what is that process of someone naturally supporting their thyroid to get the results that you'd like to get inside of what you do?
A lot of great points in there. Yeah. So to back up a step, so those on thyroid meds, there's so much disconnect between what we know in research and what's done in clinical practice.
Happens all the time.
Yeah. There have been a lot of big scathing articles saying that 85% at least of those on thyroid medications never needed them.
That's a
lot. And this is the most widely prescribed, well, within the top one or three most widely prescribed medications globally. So you see a parking lot in a pharmacy and you think about a third of those cars that are there, they don't need to be there.
That's a big deal.
Well, and the meds actually taken unnecessarily raise the risk for cancers and early mortality and other problems. So those articles then made researchers ask your question, well, what can somebody do if they're already on the meds? And they've shown that if someone doesn't do anything at all smart, they don't do anything, all the good things that they could do that you teach people about that are all helpful, even if they don't do any of that, 84% of the time they can lower their meds with no adverse effects whatsoever. And about half the time they can come off with no adverse effects whatsoever.
And eliminate some of these downstream risks that really don't, probably not saying that. Like, when I was sick, they're like, hey, I'm 5% better on Effexor. How long should I stay on it the rest of my life?
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, what? That was my journey, because that's what I heard. A local medical doctor in Nowhereville, Zillionople, Pennsylvania, that my parents sent me in because they saw how much I was suffering. Go to the medical doctor. My mom was using psychotropics at the time. And, you know, I had chronic pain, fibromyalgia. It was a crazy person's disease then, right? Obviously, I was mitochondrial dysfunction, thyroid dysfunction, you know, all the things, right? Until my cells could regenerate, my thyroid could regenerate. It took 7 years, right? Literally, it's neat. Your cell turnover does kind of work out. That 7 to 10 years is what I tell
people. For the slowest ones, yeah.
Yeah, for the slowest ones. But some
stuff. Thyroid cells about 2-3 months.
Yeah, some things, well, that's a fast one. Yeah, it turns over quickly. Your gut turns over, mouth, right? All those things. So that's beautiful. So that's an easy solution, right? Is work with the right doctor and say, hey, let's see how I do.
So for those on the meds, now the other thing you talked about is those who have hypothyroidism or Hashimoto's. And the stories you said about folks getting better, totally true. I love clinical research because we can see what's most likely to work. You know, people are always different, but it's just like a product review. You know, you're not going to buy you actually might like the 2-star thing, yeah. But you're probably not going to buy it. Yeah. You know, you could try the thing that worked for everybody else the most. So there have now been studies saying that those who are not yet on meds, but have pretty advanced hypothyroidism, secondary to Hashimoto's, one clinical trial did nothing other than one small dietary intervention. Within 3 months, 78.3% of these participants had perfectly normal thyroid function. So that's a lot. Of the 22 some odd percent that didn't, one big group simply wasn't very compliant. You got to play to win. Another group was so very far from normal going into it. They weren't yet normal. They were heading
that
way.
Yeah.
So if you change the numbers to say, well, of those who did it, how many either were totally cured or were headed that way? That was 97% by one small dietary intervention.
Well, now it's like you just did a subject line in an email or an ad. What was that one small dietary change that could help reverse thyroid disease or whatever? So what is that dietary change?
Well, and all the things you can do for diet and lifestyle and health, they're all important.
Yeah.
But this study had one variable, and that was controlling their iodine intake.
That's a big one. Right. So let's talk about iodine. Right, I know that's a big one. You can't take too much. If you take too much, you can throw someone into a thyroid storm,
mm-hmm, yeah.
And that's dangerous, yep. Right? So how do you, is there blood work and testing for that?
Well, pretty much it's, do you have thyroid disease or have you got a lot of it in your family?
Yeah.
You know, we know there's about 12.5 genes involved. Even if you have the genes, they're not always active. So the biggest thing is, yeah, if you've got thyroid disease or a lot of it's in your family, you probably want to be cautious about getting into a safe range for it. And if you already have thyroid disease, getting into a narrower target, that's the best predictable way to reverse it.
Beautiful. So I'm asking this question, and you know, I've been in the supplement world, you know, and all of it, all the things. So adding more iodine, what were they taking? There's different forms of iodine, and you know, there's always these battles, and doctors say, oh my gosh, you got to take this form and you got to get it naturally, else you're gonna, you know. So let's kind of
simple one there. So iodine's an element, mm-hmm. and to be really precise, we ingest iodide, mm-hmm. and we form that into iodine.
Okay.
Unless you got a particle accelerator, you can't change elements.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what form it is. It's iodide. It's one of iodine. Them.
So you shut that one right down with chemistry 101, Dr. Alan Christian. Sorry, it's not methyl. Full ladle iodide, you know, it's going to process.
Like
regardless.
When mom said that it all goes in the same place in your stomach, it all goes the same, it all works the same way once it gets in. Yeah.
So you could eat foods higher in iodide.
I just say iodine because
iodine.
Yeah,
higher in iodine. So
there's your foods, your personal care products, your supplements, your salts. Those are the biggest sources of that.
Was there anything else you want to share on thyroid? Because I want to move into like non-toxic living, and you know, you live in the middle of nowhere, you probably walk around barefoot and garden and hug your dog and hug trees. And because that's non-toxic living. And I know that that's the sort of lifestyle you've chosen over the years and enjoy, which is beautiful. But if you were going to leave someone who is listening to this and be like, hey, you know, be encouraged, you know, a thyroid diagnosis isn't a death sentence. It doesn't mean you're going to be on drugs the rest of your life necessarily. You can, that's your choice if you choose to do that. But is there any final words of wisdom? Because this definitely is something you specialize in.
If you've got thyroid disease and you're struggling, you don't have to struggle. There are solutions. There are ways that you can feel better. You might not, if you're on meds, you may not need them long term. And yeah, the thyroid's very regenerative. And if you're not where you want to be, don't settle for that.
Yeah. So even if you had, this begs another question. If you had so you had cancer, you had part of it removed. Mm-hmm. Have you seen part of it grow back?
I've seen all of it. Well, yeah. So some thyroidectomy surgeries, there's actually an extra lobe that about 5% of people have that sometimes gets left behind. So I've seen it grow back after full thyroidectomy. Now that's not common, but seen a lot of stuff over the years and
Yeah, because what other organs can grow back? I know this
Your liver's one of the best.
Yeah. I hear about that, people donating a liver and then the liver grows back. I mean, that just
80%. You can lose just 80%. And
it blows my mind, you know?
That's actually like 28 days too. That's even faster.
28 day cellular turnover. So that means if you stop poisoning your liver with alcohol, right? This thing can turn around, you know? And, you know, I drink very little alcohol. It's really hard to be part of a non-toxic lifestyle and purposely poison yourself. You know, I mean, you can use it in rituals and certain things that can add value, but overall, you know, it's hurting you. But the good news is it can regenerate.
Yeah, your liver can regenerate. I tried for a lot of years to be sociable and fit in and have a few sips here and there, but it never benefited me in any way, the alcohol. And the data is clear that there's no net benefit to health. And I just gave up, you know.
Yeah, me too. And it's tough, especially at health events and, you know, they're staying up late and I'm like, what, you know, but such once was I, you know, but I guess age, once again, I don't fit in, you know, and I'm doing my own jam. My kids don't fit in, you know, they're homeschooled and,
cool.
But it's neat to see that people are interested. It's like, you know, in my children and how they act and how well adapted they are. And because of all the stigmas of homeschooling and all the things. So you've raised two children. We have a lot of moms following, you know, this podcast, and you're a great dad. You know, I hear that from others, and a mutual friend of ours who said you need to get on this podcast with Warren. Honestly, I asked him to because I was like, hey, I like Dr. Alan. I like what he's about. I hear positive things. You've been coming to health conferences for years and years, adding value and teaching and educating and. You've adapted a non-toxic lifestyle. You don't do alcohol. Like you're living in the woods, you know, you're choosing a non-toxic lifestyle because it's a choice, right? You don't have to do it, but you can choose it.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, as a kid, I figured out that not only did that make me healthier and take care of these concerns, but it was almost just hedonistic. I just felt better, you know, mentally, physically, in every way. I'm like, well, why would you want anything else? You know? And I've always thought people have this idea that you need some kind of discipline or you're missing out on all these things you really want. No, once you feel good, that's the best high there is.
It is the best high. Connecting to your family, connecting to nature, it's the ultimate high.
Yeah.
I tell that to people. That's why I do this. If you can get reconnected to your health, reconnected to spirit, to God, it feels really good. The dopamine spike you know, the hormone regulation, the encouragement that you hear, you know, you don't hear, I hear the voices, right? You know, but they're quiet, you know, you're not good enough, yeah. Or the things that happen in the trauma, they're very silenced when you realize that this world can work for you and not against you if you choose it, right? But it's sad, it's hard, right? Well, it's hard for people. They, you know, you, it happened early to you, you adapted early, you saw the light early. you're like one of those Christian kids where it all worked out because they learned early on. And, you know, I'm just making a joke because I was raised that way and kind of poking fun. But I wanted the horror story, you know. It's like, oh, I was a drug addict and, you know, my life, you know, turned around. But you did learn early through pain. You leaned into pain. You knew leaning into pain, you learned early on that if you lean into it and learn from it and focus on the solution and don't feel sorry for yourself and take responsibility, knowing that every action has an equal and opposite reaction, you know, some of the laws that the universe revolves around. But what are some of the lifestyle hacks that you use? I mean, we don't like the word hack as much, but what are some of the choices? Like if you would give us, and this is one of the questions I ask everybody, if there's, you can give me several because I think we have enough time here, but some of the things that you do to live a non-toxic lifestyle that have major benefits for your health, because you can feel it.
It's funny, you know, over the years, the more I think about these things, the more I think about the more soft, touchy-feely things being the most powerful, you know, having a clear purpose, you know, having a sense of meaning, you know, feeling like I'm doing something useful, staying grounded with my family, you know, caring for my parents, being with them and connecting with my roots, you know, where I'm from and my origin and being a part of that, being part of a lineage. So I think the softer things, maybe even among the most powerful, more tangible things, a lot of time outside. You know, I love being back in northern Minnesota and experiencing the seasons and, you know, all the differences of them and kind of rejoicing all of them and just finding ways to move outdoors and be active and be connected with that. And mostly just eating simple foods, minimally processed, a lot of cooking at home. I've never found extreme diets to be, as far as the foods that our grandparents have eaten, I never found good data that those things really were harmful. We have to be cautious about where they're from, if they're clean or whatnot.
Yeah.
But the diets that cut out all kinds of food categories and groups, I've seen a lot of folks just do badly by being too restrictive. So I'm not restrictive, but yeah, just minimally processed foods, lots of movement and time with loved ones.
Yeah, you're feeding your soul. You're feeding all the things, right? Mm-hmm. You are what you eat. You are what you watch. You are what you, who you become around. Like, I think those are really, really powerful, simple tools, and you're doing it well. Do you bass fish? You're Minnesota?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to know that I'm an avid bass fisherman. I used to fish in tournaments in Pennsylvania.
Wow.
I started a little bit here in Utah, then I just ran out of time. I use my boat twice this year.
Wow.
But I go to Canada every year, and for a couple of weeks, that's where our family's from, and I'll fish every day.
My son and I were up in the Boundary Waters last summer.
Oh, wow.
That's how we survived.
Yeah, you're
I tell you, though, when
foraging.
It'll ruin you, though, for fishing anywhere else. Because like 2-3 casts and you've got a massive largemouth or a big walleye or something. And it's ridiculous.
It's some of the most prolific waters for growing. And there's no fishing pressure, so the fish can grow and get bigger and bigger. Not everyone's up there eating them. I don't know what their natural predator is up there. So I know you live where you live and you have this great life, right? And so do I. And we control our environment. We're older. We have the how we want to live. And we know our purpose is. And we're in that place, but I think we still all have concerns. And this could be any concern, but I just like to bring it up. If you have a concern that you think that you could remove, right? Some people say it's fear or like there's all these different toxins, right? But if you have one concern that you could help humanity with and remove that concern, what would it be? Just a philosophical, I mean, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I guess those could be hard for my wheelhouse skill set, but in terms of toxins, the effects globally, I mean, air pollution is the biggest thing. I mean, as far as what we ingest in a given day, we take in way more air than food or water.
Yeah.
And we see data about just the death rates now from air pollution in larger cities that are skyrocketing. So if there's one single thing or one single step, if I had a wand and one charge in the wand, I guess that would be the thing I would do.
Yeah, one wish from the genie. It's like clean up our air because we're not ingesting, you know, breathing in a microplastic a week and the heavy metals from the tire dust. And we don't think about these things, right? Mm-hmm. I think we can all agree that we're destroying nature, right? Everybody can agree with that, right? Wherever political fence you sit on, the toxins are affecting the planet, our microbiomes, our soils, And we're breathing it in. So that is that's your magic wand moment. That's a good one. You know? So how can folks find you and learn more about what you do and how you can help people if they have a thyroid concern, your social media, you know, all those things?
You know, easiest single step in that case would be learning more about iodine. InvisibleIodine.com is a free docuseries. Talks all about how much the body needs, where it comes from, where you might get too much, what are some healthy ways to know what are the right amounts. But yeah, Invisible Iodine, free docuseries for the public.
Great. What about Instagram handles?
Yep, at Dr. Alan Christensen.
That's an easy one. Website?
drchristensen.com.
Yeah. Perfect. So it's been a pleasure and honor having you on the show. You're an amazing human. I can tell that you don't have an agenda. You just, you're living your life, helping people and sharing the wisdom that you've gained starting all the way back when you were 10 years old. Thanks so much for being here.
I see the same in you. I'm glad to be here with you.
Thank you.